I'm Bob McDonald, and you're listening to CBC Radio's Quirks and Quarks. The Galapagos finches are one of the icons of evolution. Darwin first encountered these birds on his historic voyage to the Galapagos Islands on the British Navy ship the Beagle. Darwin hypothesized that the finches were likely all descended from ancestors of a single species. Isolated on the different islands and landscapes of the Galapagos, they diversified into more than a dozen different species, a process known as speciation. Well, now Darwin's finches may be seen as another kind of icon, an icon of what human impact on a natural environment might do to biodiversity. Dr. Andrew Hendry, a biologist at the Redpath Museum at McGill University, has discovered a case in which a group of finches in the Galapagos are, well, perhaps the word is devolving. Dr. Hendry, welcome to Quirks and Quarks.
Thank you for having me.
Well, tell me about this group of finches you've been studying.
Well, in the Galapagos Islands, there are roughly 14 different species of finches that are specialized for different foods, and that specialization is in the size of the beaks and the shape of the beaks they have. What I'm doing is I'm focusing in on one of those species that shows the signs of maybe splitting in the same way that those 14 species have split. So you're seeing the divergence within one species, perhaps reflecting this process of splitting into multiple species.
Oh, well, what's this group doing that you're studying?
Well, they seem to show the hints of splitting into small and large beaked forms with very few intermediates. And so this small and large beaked forms within this one species sort of parallel the differences among the large, small, and medium beaked species on a larger scale.
And what's driving this split?
Well, what's driving the split is that Darwin's finches seem to specialize on these different food types. And so within this one species, it seems like the small-beaked version is specializing on small seeds, and the large version is specializing on large seeds, and their intermediate-sized birds are specializing on no seeds.
Oh, I see. So it's still one species. You just have some of them have big beaks and small beaks, depending on the food that they're eating, but it's still one species that appears to be evolving into two.
Yeah, that's right, and we don't really say whether or not it is one species or not, because by some of the criteria with which people would identify separate species, this one species might already be two separate species.
Oh, I see. So then in this population of birds that you're studying, you got many different sizes, but there's a lot of them with the big ones and a lot of them with the small beaks.
That's right, and very few intermediates.
Okay. So how did people come on this scene?
Well, the Galapagos were pretty much uninhabited for almost all of their history, which amounts to about 3 million years or so. And in recent times, with the advent of course, major sea travel, they were colonized. But population sizes remained quite low until recently, maybe the 1960s or so. And since the 1960s, in a few local places on the islands, there's been the development of quite large towns, primarily associated with the tourist industry. And at one of these towns, these populations of finches that were splitting into small and large beaks has come into contact with this rapidly expanding human population.
And what result have you seen from that?
Well, what we found is that this former split between the two forms, which were documented in the 1960s and prior to that, based on old samples, has disappeared now. So it appears as though instead of having a small and large beaked birds with a separation between them, now you have a range all the way from small to large, but with no clear separation between them.
So what do you think is going on here?
Well, that's where it becomes a little more speculative. And what I think is happening is that humans are changing the distribution of seeds that the finches exploit. So formerly, before humans were there, it's a very harsh environment, very unpleasant for finches and for humans alike. And at that time, there were probably very few resources, and there was a small seed resource and a large seed resource. But when humans show up, they bring in all sorts of introduced plants, and they cause all sorts of changes to the environment, including actually feeding finches directly. So there are some places where you can actually see people who put out large amounts of rice for the finches. And so any finch can eat those rice bits. And so maybe that's taking those intermediate birds and making it so that they no longer have a problem. And so this then causes the fusion of the small and large beaks back together again.
Well, is this a case of interbreeding the large beaks and the small ones to produce these intermediates, or what's the mechanism there?
Yeah, there's probably a sort of a background level of interbreeding between small and large beaked finches all the time. And what's happened now is that those intermediate forms just aren't having a problem anymore. Now they're doing fine, whereas in the old days or prior to major human influences, they wouldn't have done okay.
Oh, I see. So as I understand this, this isn't about birds growing large beaks or losing big beaks. It's a population of these birds that can have big or small beaks. Before humans are there, there are lots of those with large beaks because they eat big seeds, and there are lots of those with small ones because there are big and large seeds around. Humans come in, introduce intermediate seeds, and then the ones in the middle just populate more, so you get more of those. Is that what's happened here? That's how this de-evolution is working?
Yes, and what that's doing is that's sort of reducing the integrity of these separate small and large forms and therefore preventing them from continuing the split onto separate species.
So it's stopping this speciation. Had this continued, they may have turned into two separate species of finches, as Darwin had seen when he first went there.
Precisely, and I think that may have is the optimal word there, because we don't know if that would actually occur. But what we do know is that they're showing signs of splitting in exactly the same way that we would have expected the different species to split in the first place.
So what's the result we're going to see here? Are we just going to see this muddled up middle road of intermediate finches on the Galapagos here?
Well, now you're sort of making a inference about what might happen to what you might call a sort of the more distinct species, and that's an interesting question. Now, one of the remarkable things about Darwin's finches is they don't show many genetic incompatibilities, and that simply means that one species, if it would interbreed with another species, would have offspring that would survive with no trouble. And so I think that with these human influences, it certainly is quite possible that the more distinct species that have been recognized ever since Darwin's time could actually be caused to fuse back together again, at least in sites where you have really heavy human impacts. But that's, of course, something that hasn't been seen yet, and nobody is really looking for it yet. But it's something that we can at least concern ourselves with.
Well, why are you concerned about that?
Well, in part because Darwin's finches provide this spectacular way of understanding evolutionary theory. I mean, the finches themselves are linked with Darwin's first written thoughts about the fact that there might be this splitting of species through natural selection into other species modified for different ends. And so it becomes this wonderful laboratory for being able to understand evolution and how it works. And here we have a situation where our influences might be actually destroying this unique situation. It truly is a unique situation where we have so much potential to understand the process of evolution. And in your introduction, you suggested that they were an icon of evolution, and that is indeed the case. And it's sad that we might lose our ability to understand evolution through the loss of this icon.
Dr. Hendry, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you for having me.
Dr. Andrew Hendry is a biologist at the Redpath Museum at McGill University. His research was published in the Proceedings of the Royal Society.